Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, sports fans. It is Sunday, September 28th, 2014. We are now in week four. We're starting to hit the byes. What are we really seeing from some of these teams? Yes, we are back in the saddle for a new episode of Beyond the Bench. Welcome. I am your host, Ryan Stern. Follow me on Twitter at rstern33bsp. Follow the show on Twitter at Beyond the Bench. Follow the and also like the show on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/beyondthebenchbsp. That BSP is for Backsports Page. As always, we are brought to you every week by backsportspage.com. Go to facebook.com/backsportspage, on Twitter at backsportspage. I've got a great show for you up ahead. We're going to review the Giants-Washington game from the other night. We're going to preview week four. At 10 o'clock, we have Liz Loza, the FF girl, the fantasy football girl. You can find her on Twitter at the FF girl. She's co-host of the X's and Y's podcast. Her website, thefantasyfootballgirl.com. She'll be coming on, talk some week four fantasy football. We're going to play studs, duds, and sleepers with her, see who she likes this week for your fantasy football team. As you know, we got byes coming in this week. So, and with a bunch of prominent fantasy teams on a bye this week, your team may be in a little bit of array. If you have a fantasy football question, you can tweet it to at Beyond the Bench. You can go to our Facebook page, which once again is facebook.com/beyondthebenchbsp. Or you can always call into the show, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846, and we will get to your questions, whether or not it's for fantasy or about your favorite team as they're heading into their week four game. But before we get into the NFL, I want to say a fond farewell to Derek Jeter. I'm a Met fan, so and the Yankees are one of the few teams that I have a personal distaste for. But you just can't dislike Derek Jeter. He did everything the right way. He never embarrassed himself. He never embarrassed his family. He never embarrassed the organization. He did things the way an organization expects every player to. Unfortunately, it comes as a shock to us now when players act like Derek Jeter. Now the norm is for the opposite. And even as a Met fan, I'm sitting there, I'm watching Jeter's last at-bat. And as he gets that game-winning hit to end the game against Baltimore, I'm sitting there and I've got a smile on my face. There's just something about this guy that just brings that to you. And he even said in his press conference, there are plenty of people, plenty of players in this game that have more talent than him. But nobody has worked harder. He said there are players who have worked as hard, but he could. And I truly believe it. Because Derek Jeter isn't the most physically gifted athlete in the world. But he did things the right way. He did things the way that you want them to be done. And with that, I bid a fond farewell to Derek Jeter. He plays in his last game today up at Fenway. And you got to be proud of the way that the Red Sox fans, and I expected this, because the Red Sox fans are baseball fans. They get it. They get what's going on. And they get what Derek Jeter not only means to the Yankees, but to the game of baseball. So I applaud the Red Sox fans for how they are taking in the whole Derek Jeter thing. And his final game will come as a DH. But it really is the end of an era. And it's going to be interesting to see the direction that the Yankees take as they go forward throughout the upcoming years. With that, we move to one of the players in the NFL who says that Derek Jeter is one of the guys he looked up to, one of the guys that he wanted to emulate. And over the past couple days, the way that he's played have really shown that he's got that in him. And that's Eli Manning and what he's done with the New York Giants. Those of you who are listeners of the show know that, again, I'm a Giants fan. I was out at the Hall of Fame game. I got to see the offense from up close, and I watched them throughout the entire preseason, and there just didn't seem to be any improvement, any flow, any confidence. And that showed week one when the Lions pretty much manhandled them throughout the entire game. Week two, you started to see a little bit of improvement finally, which was a little worrisome because that was now the seventh game that they had played. Remember, the Giants played five preseason games and then week two. And then we see, and I had said from the beginning, I'm going to need to see it from the Giants before I pick them. I saw enough in that preseason, in that week two game against Arizona, to understand that the Giants have a chance, that the Giants are starting to do what needs to be done to get wins and to get a true grasp of this West Coast offense that Ben McAdoo has brought to them. And one thing that really worried me was watching, because over the past couple of years, you've seen the Packers, when they're successful in that movement of the West Coast offense, a lot of it had to do with the production of JerMichael Finley. The Giants didn't have a tight end, I thought, that could be as athletic and have the hands of someone like a JerMichael Finley. I saw Larry Donnell in preseason. I saw Larry Donnell at camp. He didn't look like this. Larry Donnell all of a sudden looks like the second coming of Mark Bavaro. The kid can move, the kid can catch, he can block. And he's got the wingspan that you want, especially down in the red zone. And 3 touchdowns in the first half. He comes away with 6 grabs, 41 yards, 3 touchdowns. If the Giants, and I'm not saying he's going to get 3 touchdowns every week, but if the Giants can continue to get consistent production out of that tight end spot, and we've even seen Daniel Fells, this is now 3 games in a row that Daniel Fells has a touchdown. Giants tight ends have all but two of their receiving touchdowns. And then we see Eli Manning, and we're really starting to see Eli Manning understand the concepts of the West Coast offense, understand the footwork, understand the timing, and he really looks good. And the main reason why he looks good is because of the confidence. Eli Manning, he really looks like a confident quarterback. And it was that confidence that brought them to those 2 Super Bowl runs. Eli Manning was playing the way that he knew how to play. And he didn't know this West Coast offense. All he had played in the NFL was the Kevin Gilride, let's see what the defense is giving us, and then have all these options in the routes, or the routes, I'm sorry. But it really seems that the New York Giants are, and they have a big test coming up next week. And they get a little lucky because the Atlanta Falcons are not a very good road team. But they still have a bunch of weapons. If the Giants can come out of that game with a win, go to 3-2. Then they have back-to-back division games against the Eagles and Cowboys. The Giants may look to they may be on their way to going on a nice little run here. And I really think that a lot of it has to do also not well with Eli is the most important reason to the run. But a big thing is how the defense of the Giants has played. Most importantly, the secondary. We're seeing, I mean, even Prince Amukamara is, in my opinion, he's one of the top 32. So he's a number one on just about every team. He's one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. The confidence that he's getting from being able to go up against number 2 receivers because of what Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie has brought has made so many strides in his game. And he looks confident. Rodgers-Cromartie looks confident. And I wasn't as worried as other people were when Walter Thurman went down, because I knew that Tremaine McBride would be able to handle the nickel spot. And Tremaine McBride had maybe one of the biggest plays of the game in the game on Thursday when Logan Paulson, who came in for the injured Niles Paul, we'll get into that play in just a second. But Logan Paulson's in, catches a little button hook, and then Tremaine McBride just rips the ball out of his hands when the Redskins are on the verge of the red zone. Giants recover the fumble, go down, score, and they kick a field goal as the first half expires. That's a 10-point turnaround. It could have very easily been 17-14 going into the second half, but it was 24-7. And just seeing how confident and even with his rushing touchdown, and there was a great quote from Victor Cruz earlier this week. They asked him about Eli's rushing touchdown, and he said, it's like seeing a UFO or a unicorn. That just tells you about the maneuverability of Eli Manning. But just the entire offense, and a lot of it is with the offensive line. The offensive line, and I don't know if the Giants are looking better because the offensive line is playing better, or I want to get an offensive line expert on maybe next week. Is this improvement of the offensive line because of the way that they're playing, or because Eli and the receivers are starting to really get on the same page? Because the offensive line looks so much better than it has in weeks past. Moving on to Washington. They're in trouble. I'm sorry, but the Giants showed you that the Eagles don't really have a defense. They don't have a defense at all. And it's going to be real interesting because there were a lot of people who were saying that when Robert Griffin III comes back from his injury, that this is still going to be Kirk Cousins' team. Well, I think the Giants really exploited, and it's the second time now that the Giants have exploited Kirk Cousins. And if you look at it, two of his last three starts have been against the Giants. Week 17 last year, and this is his second start of the season this year. Kirk Cousins was exposed because when there's a true defensive game plan going into, and the Giants really had the majority, I guess the Eagles didn't look at what the Giants did last year in week 17 to shut him down. The Giants used that tape because they employed a lot of the same looks. They employed a lot of the same pass rushes. They employed some of the same blitzes. And they really made him look off his game. He was not the same quarterback that played against the Eagles the week before and put up over 400 yards. And I personally think that if teams game plan for Kirk Cousins the way that the Giants did, there are going to be more instances where Kirk Cousins looks the way he did on Thursday than he did the week before against the Eagles. Prince Mukamara was saying how he has one of the easiest eyes to read in the NFL, that all they were doing were reading his eyes. Because he stares down defenders, stares down his receivers. This is going to be Robert Griffin's team when he comes back. And I'm sorry for you fantasy owners that are now counting on Kirk Cousins because of what he did against the Eagles. This is going to be Robert Griffin III's team. To the play with Niles Paul when Niles Paul got hurt. I don't know how the officiating in the NFL comes up with some of these idiotic explanations for why they made calls the way that they did. Niles Paul caught the ball and then put his head down as he, which is making a football move because he's tucking his head and shoulders down. And Quentin Demps tries to hit Niles Paul in the chest. Where he's targeting is where the chest would have been. Last minute, Niles Paul tucks his head in. And it looks like he's in for a concussion. That's what you're supposed to do as a defender. You're supposed to go at the chest now. And that's what he did. It's not Quentin Demps' fault that Niles Paul tucked his head down into where his chest should have been. You have to give the defenders some room to make a tackle. Otherwise, there isn't going to be any tackling left in the league, and it's going to become the National Flag Football League. And then they have the audacity to overturn what should have been a touchdown with Reuben Randall, saying that he didn't make a football move when he caught the ball, got 2 feet down in the end zone, and his shoulders turned upfield. But that's not a football move. But look at what Brandon Merriweather did. Brandon Merriweather launched his helmet crown first into the ball, into the chest. But because Reuben Randall didn't tuck his head down, they didn't call it. And Brandon Merriweather launched himself. Quentin Demps tried to make a tackle. Merriweather launched the crown of his helmet into Reuben Randall's hands. The NFL has a lot of explaining to do with how they're making and how they're coming up with some of these calls. Because, in my opinion, it boggles my mind to see how some of these calls are made, and even when it comes to review. And I know that they're having most of the times, someone from headquarters, from the NFL headquarters in New York, in the headset of the referee when they're in the replay booth. What are they looking at? I would love to hear an official's explanation, because I didn't get one from that idiot Mike Carey that they brought on. I thought he was a horrible referee when he was in the league. Why am I going to respect his opinions when he's now a commentator? But that being said, the Redskins are in a lot of trouble. They have a ton of injuries on defense. That team's going to go into free fall mode. And I really think that the Giants have a big game against Atlanta next week. If they can come out of that with a victory, if they can play the way that they played against Washington, because that's as complete a game as we've seen the Giants put up in quite some time. If they can continue to put together these complete games, they're going to go on a run. Moving on to our Sunday football week 4 picks. We open up with the Miami Dolphins and the Oakland Raiders. They are playing over in London. The Oakland Raiders just aren't any good. And I think that what they did last week was expose the Patriots, that the Patriots aren't that good either. The only difference is that the Patriots play in such a division that it's going to, they're probably going to be by default the champions of that division. But in this game, the Miami Dolphins come out on ahead of the Oakland Raiders. I think we see a big game from Lamar Miller today. I think we see a big game from Mike Wallace, even though these London games don't necessarily always mean offense. And the Raiders' defense has looked okay in two of their three games. But I just don't see it. I don't see it coming. I think the Dolphins are just a better football team than the Oakland Raiders. Then we move into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Steelers host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Buccaneers are in disarray. they were the trendy pick for a lot of these experts. I know Bill Cowher was all over the Buccaneers preseason. He listed them as their team to watch in the NFC. And his team to watch from the AFC hasn't been much better. We'll get into that in the next game. But this is going to be an interesting game because even though the Steelers are 2-1, they lost three key pieces to their defense to injury last week. They lost Ike Taylor to a broken arm, Ryan Shazier, rookie first-round draft pick, and Jarvis Jones. There's your two outside pass-rushing linebackers. They're both out. Because of the way the Buccaneers have looked over the first couple weeks, the Steelers were a very trendy pick for team players who like to stream defenses in fantasy football. I don't see that. I don't see that being a decent pick at all. They lost their best corner and their two best pass rushers. I think the Buccaneers are going to be able to put up some points. But I think their defense, which is shocking for a Lovie Smith team, is just god-awful. And I think the Steelers are going to be able to put up some big points. I see Le'Veon Bell having a real nice game. And Antonio Brown is always going to have a nice game because that's what Antonio Brown does. Antonio Brown is the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL. How many people do you think know that Antonio Brown led the NFL in receptions last year? Not many. Not many know how good Antonio Brown really is. And I just think that the offense is going to be better for the Steelers. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh at home to send the Bucs to 0-4. Bill Cowher's AFC team to watch was the Tennessee Titans. And after week one, he was looking pretty good with that one. And then all of a sudden, the Tennessee Titans just pooped the proverbial bed. There were a lot of expectations for them going into the Cowboy game. And especially with me, I played Jake Locker in a bunch of my daily leagues. And aside from one play that Delanie Walker did most of the work, he didn't look good against a pitiful Cowboy defense. Last week, they put up a dud against Baltimore. And now they get a very hungry Colts team. They're coming off their first win. They're playing at home against Tennessee, and they're a much better home team than they are a road team. I like the Colts to win this one big. Andrew Luck is still. I don't understand people. I don't know if it's because he hasn't won a playoff game, and there are plenty other young quarterbacks who have won playoff games. There are young quarterbacks who have won Super Bowls. If Andrew Luck had, I was hearing these comparisons on who was a better quarterback, Russell Wilson or Andrew Luck. Imagine what the Seahawks would be if they had Andrew Luck as their quarterback instead of Russell Wilson. Now, I know Russell Wilson brings a lot to the team, but I think there's more that Andrew Luck can do that Russell Wilson does than Russell Wilson can do of what Andrew Luck does. Andrew Luck is a better quarterback. He just doesn't have that team around him. And if there's a guy I want as my quarterback going forward, I want Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck's going to have a big game today, had a big game last week. I can easily see him putting up 250 to 300 yards and at least two touchdowns, possibly a third. Andrew Luck going to lead the Colts to victory today. The Lions come into MetLife Stadium to take on the Jets. And the Lions have not looked like the Lions that any of us expected them to look like. We all expected the Detroit Lions to be this offensive juggernaut who's going to have to, and if they're going to win, they're going to have to outscore teams 40 to 35. So far, they've looked like a defensive team. That front four, and aside from Steven Tulloch being an idiot and pulling a Martin Gramatica and celebrating a sack and tearing his ACL, aside from their front seven is pretty good. They're really good, especially that front four. That front four is nasty. And there are a lot of people who are saying that the loss of Steven Tulloch may hurt. Kyle Van Noy is going to be coming back soon. Kyle Van Noy is their second-round draft pick. He's the guy that I was so high on in the NFL draft. I thought he could have been a late first round. He ended up going mid-second. And the way that Geno Smith has played for the Jets, I don't think he's ready for what the Lions are going to bring against him today. And I also think that this may be one of those games that Matthew Stafford is able to right the ship, because that Jets secondary, really bad. They're really bad. And you'll hear when I give you my FanDuel lineup for this week. I think Calvin Johnson can be okay. I think he can definitely be okay. But I really like Golden Tate this week as a nice little sleeper for fantasy. The Jets have not been good against wide receiver twos this entire season. You look, Rod Streeter had a big game, maybe not a big game, but he had an okay game. He had a touchdown in week one. Week two, both, I mean, Jordy obviously is the number one, and he had a great game. But Randall Cobb had a real nice game, too, against the Jets in week two. Week three, Alshon Jeffrey has a big game. Wide receiver twos are going to put up numbers against the Jets, and especially when you have maybe a slightly hobbled Calvin Johnson who's still going to draw double teams. Because that's what Calvin Johnson does. He draws double teams. Leaving single coverage for Golden Tate. And if the Detroit offensive line can give Matthew Stafford some time, this is going to be, I think, at least a double-digit win on the road for the Detroit Lions. And I would not be surprised if by the end of the game we see Michael Vick come in for Geno Smith. And it's now two games in a row that Geno Smith has made critical, critical turnovers. Twice now, at the end of the first half, while teams have been driving, he's thrown picks. So just ill-advised throws. He doesn't look like the confident quarterback that he was through the first six quarters of the season. Listen, I wouldn't be shocked if Michael Vick sees the field in some capacity more than just a gimmick play here or there. I'm talking about being the quarterback for this team. So give me the Lions against the Jets on the road. NFC North division game between two hated rivals, the Packers, the Bears. The Bears have looked really good. The Packers haven't. The Packers got shut down by the Detroit Lions last week, who Aaron Rodgers, before last week, in games that Aaron Rodgers has played against the Lions that he has completed, he was 9-0. The only time in his career that he lost to the Detroit Lions was a game that he left at halftime with a concussion. So Aaron Rodgers normally owns the Lions, and they shut him down. The Packers have really only had two quarters of real good football in their season so far. Of the 12 quarters, they've played they've played two good ones. Those were the final two quarters against the Jets, week two. Other than that, they've looked very mediocre. But this is where it's going to change. I think that he comes out and he has a big game today. He came out and on his weekly spot that he does for radio in Green Bay, he told the Green Bay fans, he has one word for you, R-E-L-A-X, relax. And I understand. I'm an Aaron Rodgers owner in one of my bigger leagues. It's a two quarterback league. Like to get those quarterbacks early. I think he has a big game, and it's fine because my two quarterbacks in that league are actually Aaron Rodgers and Jay Cutler. And I think both have the chance to put up big numbers today. The Chicago secondary worries me a little bit. And I know that the rookie Kyle Fuller, who I thought was the second best corner in the draft last year behind Darquez Dennard, I had him rated above Justin Gilbert, who went number to the Browns. Number nine to the Browns. But that secondary, and they just lost Ryan Mundy to an injury. He's out for the year. This is going to be a high-scoring game. I expect both teams to be north of 24 points. I just see Aaron Rodgers knowing that this is a must-win for the Packers. And there are a lot of people who are picking the Bears, and I can see why, because of the way that the Packers have played, why the Bears are a trendy pick. But I'm also trying to understand that Aaron Rodgers is one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. And he's going to start taking this team on his shoulders because he knows that they have a shot to win the Super Bowl. They were my pick to win the Super Bowl. So I hope he believes that. Packers go into Soldier Field and steal a win from the Chicago Bears today. Then we have the Revenge Bowl. Carolina Panthers play host to the Baltimore Ravens. And this is going to be a real interesting game. I'm really wondering how motivated or extra motivated we're going to see Steve Smith be. And I'm interested to see how the Carolina Panthers defend him. Game on. This is in Baltimore. Because the game is on CBS, and when a game is on CBS, that normally means it's an AFC away game. So, don't know why that game is on CBS. But, anyway, the game is at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. Carolina knows what Steve Smith is. Obviously, he's the franchise leader in just about everything for the Carolina Panthers. And I wonder what the advantage is. Is the advantage for the defense that they've been able to go against him in practice? They know what he can do. Or is it the fact that he knows the weaknesses of the secondary? I think that this may end up being a bigger game for Torrey Smith because I think the Carolina Panthers are going to do everything in their capabilities to shut down Steve Smith because of what he has said. And you saw D'Angelo Williams earlier this week making fun of the comments that Steve Smith said that there were going to be blood and guts everywhere, and during his little after-practice interview, he was wearing the goggles that you're seeing all these baseball teams who clinch spots in the playoffs and they have the champagne celebrations. He's wearing these goggles to make sure that the blood and guts don't get in his eyes. So they obviously hear the words. They know what's being spoken by Steve Smith and what has been spoken. So I think that they're going to do everything in their capability to take away Steve Smith from this game. And I think Torrey Smith can have a big game. There were a little bit of disconcerting times for the Panthers defense last week when they got their throat stomped on by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And what the Steelers were able to do was establish the run. And the Ravens are capable of doing that, but who's it going to be? Is it going to be Bernard Pierce? who missed last week? Is it going to be Justin Forsett, who has looked okay through the first couple weeks? Or is it going to be the new kid, Lorenzo Talaferro, who looked dynamite last week? Now, Talaferro is probably third on the depth chart, but I think he's the most explosive. I think he's the best running back that they have on the team. And in my 16-team keeper league, I actually picked up Talaferro before all this happened. So I'm hoping that Talaferro starts going off, because that's going to benefit my team. And I think that they understand what Justin Forsett and Bernard Pierce are. They've been around for quite some time. We don't know what Lorenzo Talaferro is. And I think he can be the best running back of that trio. And I do think that by mid-season, he takes over the reins and he's a starting running back from here on out, from there on out. I like the Ravens in this game. I really do. The Ravens are, if the Carolina defense had looked okay against Pittsburgh, because they looked really good through 2 weeks. But I had been expecting the Carolina defense to take a step back. And I saw that last week. So now those doubts in my head that I had going into the season are back. Cam Newton didn't look good at all. You can tell he's still bothered by the injury to his ribs. And I think that the Ravens are going to put some pressure on him. And I think they're going to try and hit him as many times as possible. Ravens come out of here with a win. All right, real quickly, let's motor through these last couple games on the schedule for today. We got the Buffalo Bills taking on the Houston Texans. I think the Giants exposed the Texans last week. I like the Buffalo Bills to go into Houston and move to 3-1. Houston falls to 2-2. Jaguars go out west to San Diego, take on the Chargers. Yeah. We got the first start for Blake Bortles, and Bortles looked good at times last week when he came in for Chad Henne in the second half. There are times that he looked eh. But there's one thing that you can say about Blake Bortles, is that he has no fear. There isn't a throw that he isn't willing to try. He has a lot of confidence in his arm that he can get it to where it needs to be. And some of those throws may wind up in interceptions, as two of them did last week. But you can also see that he can put the ball where it needs to be and let his receivers make some big plays. But that Jacksonville defense is just atrocious. It's absolutely atrocious. I am starting Donald Brown because I do think that it's going to be a 50-50 split between pass and run this week for the Chargers. And Donald Brown, he only had 2 yards to carry, but they fed him the rock. With Ryan Matthews and Danny Woodhead both out of the picture, and only Brandon Oliver looking to take some snaps. I mean, Donald Brown got 31 carries last week. If he gets north of 20, he's going to have a much better day going against this Jacksonville defense. So, and I see this being a two-touchdown game. The Chargers, who are 2-1, look to go to 3-1, take a half-game lead on the Broncos. And the Chargers were one of my AFC wildcard teams this year, and I know that they're Dave Damashek from NFL.com has his own podcast, which if you like a mix between comedy and football, I will definitely recommend the Dave Damashek football program because he is that it really is an entertaining show. But he's all over the Chargers as being the team that is going to win the AFC West. So, but I think they finish as a wild card. They do come out of this with a victory. We have another rookie quarterback making his first start of his career, and that's Teddy Bridgewater against the Atlanta Falcons. With all this that's going on with the Vikings, with the whole Adrian Peterson saga, Matt Castle breaks his foot, they're still a pretty good team, I think. I am not sold on Atlanta on the road, especially with their defense. I kind of like Teddy Bridgewater to shock the Atlanta Falcons, come out of here with a victory. I think it's going to be somewhere in the 24-21 range. Give me the Vikings at home, and especially because, remember, they play at the University of Minnesota now. So that's now an outdoor game. Atlanta is not good outdoors. So give me the Vikings to beat the Falcons this week. We got the 49ers hosting the Eagles. The 49ers just haven't looked right at all, which is why I'm picking them to win. I don't see them going 1-3. I don't see them making the playoffs either. But, and I said that preseason. I said preseason that the 49ers were going to have a fall off this year. But I do like them to beat the Eagles. I think they can play a more ball control style than Washington did last week. I think we see a nice game out of both Frank Gore and Carlos Hyde this week. I think that they're going to try and keep the Philadelphia offense on the sideline as much as possible. And look at what Kirk Cousins was able to do against the Eagles defense last week. I'm not sold on them. Give me the 49ers at home. Because do they... We don't think the 49ers are going to start 0-2 at home, do we? In that brand-new, beautiful stadium? Give me the Niners. Tonight's game, New Orleans, Dallas. And I think here's where we see the Saints exploit the Cowboys' defense. I just really think that they have the opportunity, especially because We all know the Saints have a difficult time normally on the road, but most of the times that they have difficulty is during those outdoor games. This is a very similar track that they are used to. The Cowboys' defense, I still think, is awful. Even the Rams' awful offense was able to put up a bunch of points last week. I like the Saints to win by double digits today, and they go to and both teams go to 2-2. Tomorrow night, Patriots, Chiefs. Again, the Arrowhead is one of the better home field advantages in the NFL. The Chiefs aren't gonna go 0-2 at Arrowhead, are they? I don't think so. Both teams go to 2-2 as the Kansas City Chiefs will take down the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football in front of a live national audience. With that, we're going to move into our fantasy football portion of the program. Again, you want to call in, you have a fantasy lineup question, give us a buzz, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846, or you can tweet us at Beyond the Bench. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/BeyondTheBenchBSP. We're going to start with, as we're waiting, should have Liz Loza, thefantasyfootballgirl.com, coming on in just a few moments to talk some fantasy football. Let's hop into my FanDuel lineup for today. I am going cheap at quarterback today. I'm picking up Teddy Bridgewater at only $5,900. I just think that he's going to offer some points with his legs. I think he's got two underrated targets with Cordarrelle Patterson, Greg Jennings. And don't be surprised if Greg Jennings has a nice game, because he's a very security blanket type player. And a quarterback in his first start may go after that security blanket type player. I like Teddy Bridgewater as a cheap option for daily fantasy this week. And doing that allowed me to go a little heavy in running back and receiver. Running back, I am taking DeMarco Murray. He's looked outstanding so far. New Orleans does not have a very good rush defense. And I think that he goes for over 100 and a touchdown. You can't ask for anything more. Although there's a possibility that he does give you more. DeMarco Murray at 9,000. I got Donald Brown, 6,300 against Jacksonville. Again, I think that they're going to be able to run the ball at will against that awful Jacksonville defense. And he's still relatively inexpensive when it comes to running backs. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, and in a PPR format, which this is, he can offer some extra points there. So, Donald Brown at 6,300. My wide receivers, you play three of them in FanDuel. I'm going Julio Jones because I think that he is the... right now, he's probably the best receiver in the entire NFL. And he's got a pretty good matchup against Minnesota. Even though I do think Minnesota will win, I think Julio Jones is going to put up big numbers today. I got Vincent Jackson going. And with Ike Taylor out for the year, we got Mike Glennon coming in to fill in for the injured Josh McCown, and injured and ineffective Josh McCown. Last year, we saw Glennon and Vincent Jackson have a very nice chemistry. And I think that Vincent Jackson, I said that I thought that there were going to be a lot of points in this game. I think Vincent Jackson benefits from Mike Glennon coming in, because I do think Mike Glennon will look his way more than Josh McCown was. And I told you I like Golden Tate. Golden Tate is at 5,500. Wide receiver twos are going to put up points against the Jets. Golden Tate is a cheap option at only 5,500. I think that's a slam dunk. And being the fact that now I've gone relatively inexpensive at quarterback, at one of my running backs, one of my wide receivers, it opened up Jimmy Graham for me. We all know Dallas's ineffectiveness at covering tight ends. I'm expecting at least 80 yards and 2 touchdowns from Jimmy Graham this week. I'm expecting him to get me at least 20 points. And when you're spending the money for those big ticket, those elite guys, you need them to produce. And Jimmy Graham's going to produce today. Kicker, I'm taking Shane Graham. And I am taking the Lions defense, because I think that they can force some turnovers in this game against the Jets. But with that, we are going to bring in a special guest. We have Liz Loza of the fantasyfootballgirl.com. She is the co-host of the X's and Y's podcast, and you can follow her on Twitter at VFFGirl and get her advice on scout.com. How are you doing this morning, Liz?
Well, Ryan, it's pretty early here in it's pretty early here in Los Angeles, but I am ready to talk football and already started tweeting, so thanks for having me on and helping me start my football Sunday the right way.
Absolutely. Wanted to get into a little game that we play every week. We try and get a fantasy expert on every week to play a game we call Studs, Duds, and Sleepers. Where the studs is one of the guys that you expect to be a top 12 play every week that is going to no doubt be in that top 12. We're going to take the three major positions of quarterback, wide receiver, and running back. So who's your stud play of the week at quarterback?
At quarterback. Okay. Let me go through the matchup here. Is this somebody who's like always a stud?
Yeah, someone who you think is normally a top 10 play who you think is going to be a top 3 play.
Sure. Phillip Rivers at Jacksonville. Don't hate him at all this week.
I was saying earlier when I was going through my picks that I think that this can be easily a 40-point game for the San Diego Chargers. Who is your potential dud of the week? Someone who may be a top 12 play that may slip out?
Oh, that's a good question. Call me a homer, but I don't mind if Aaron Rodgers continues to struggle. I don't think it's necessarily going to happen, but the Bears have the cheese this week at home. So I also think that Matt Stafford, he's been a little bit fluky. So, yeah, I do like his matchup against the Jets. We saw what Cutler was able to do against them on Monday night. That secondary spin, it's their run defense that's got the Dukes. But I wouldn't be surprised if Staff just gets fluky for whatever reason and doesn't pay back his ADP.
And your sleeper quarterback of the week.
Oh, it was Eli Manning, actually. But that already happened. Let's go big with Charlie Whitehurst. Why not? Let's see what happens.
I'm actually using my sleeper quarterback of the week in my daily leagues. I'm going to look for Teddy Bridgewater because I do think that he offers a lot with his legs. I think his weapons are more underrated, and I think Matt Asiata is a better-than-expected receiver out of the backfield. Although the loss of Kyle Rudolph may hurt, but I do like Teddy Bridgewater this week against.
Well, that matchup is particularly interesting because I want to see if everyone's expecting Cordarrelle Patterson to receive the production that Rudolph and Peterson would have otherwise gotten. But I'm not sure if he's mature enough to handle that much, if he's able to make that leap yet. Or if he and Bridgewater have developed that kind of rapport yet. So I do think that potential is there. And let me just throw out one more semi-sleeper because I think he's going to have a big game. So it's Ben Roethlisberger against the Bucs. I really do like him a lot this week.
Yeah, in fact, when I was breaking down that game, I said, it's still funny that people don't really talk about Antonio Brown. And the rapport that Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown have is among the best rapports of any quarterback wide receiver duo in the entire league.
Absolutely.
Moving on to running back. Continue.
I was just going to say, I mean, how many dudes do you have to kung fu kick to get some respect in this league?
Yeah, well, that will be a meme forever on the internet. Who's your stud running back of the week?
Stud running back of the week. I guess this is going to be a little bit sleeper-ish, but I don't hate Kyrie Robinson with the Saints against Dallas at all this week. I know he disappointed last week when a lot of people picked him up from the waiver wire, but I think this could be the week that that investment turns, especially with so many teams on a bye. And I have another sleeper too, so I'll wait. So I'm going to go with Kyrie Robinson.
All right, my stud of the week is actually the same game, but on the opposite side. I just think that DeMarco Murray, the way that the Cowboys' offensive line has played and the ineffectiveness of the New Orleans Saints' defense against the run, I think DeMarco Murray is a real safe play to put up big numbers today. Who is your other sleeper?
I think going back to the Steelers game, I think LeGarrette Blount could actually see some time this week. We saw, you know, when the Steelers are ahead in relief of Bell, they rolled out Blount, and he still got it. And I think that the Bucs, it's going to be interesting because the Bucs have certainly had enough time, more time than, you know, any of the other teams outside of Atlanta to recover from last Thursday night, or, you know, not last, but week three Thursday night game. It's going to be interesting to see if they can get things together on offense, but their defense has also been banged up and not performed near expectations. So I think the Steelers could get ahead enough that in standard league, again, with so many teams on a bye, rolling out Blount in your flex spot isn't necessarily that crazy.
Is that an intentional or an unintentional pun with the rolling out the Blount?
Ah, it was unintentional, but good for you for creating something out of nothing there.
Who do you think has the opportunity to be a dud this week as a running back?
Well, I think he's been getting a lot of talk, but it's Chris Ivory. He's obviously eclipsing Chris Johnson, but I do think he's going to struggle this week against the Lions. The Bears were able to keep him out of the end zone last Monday, so he's someone that I'm a little bit worried about. But again, I don't think you can necessarily not start him because you have so many teams on a bye and the running back position is so thin right now. I also think that on the other side of the ball, the Detroit running backs are going to struggle against that Jets run D too.
Yeah, I absolutely think that. In fact, I have Joique Bell as my dud of the week. I do think that in PPRs, Reggie Bush will be able to be okay because you saw Matt Forte last week being able to catch a couple balls out of the backfield. And we started to see Reggie Bush get more involved in the passing game last week. And I think that can continue for the Lions against the Jets today. On to your wide receivers. Who do you have as your stud of the week?
I mean, can Steve Smith not be the stud? How do I not mention Steve Smith with inviting the Panthers into his new house, if you will. I don't know. Better ice up for this game, that's all.
I absolutely think that. And I was a little tentative because I think that as pumped up as Steve Smith may be for this game, I think the Carolina Panthers may go all out to stop Steve Smith from embarrassing them today. I actually thought that Torrey Smith was going to be a decent play this week because I think he may see more single coverages with coverages rolling towards Steve Smith. But who do you have as a sleeper at the wide receiver today?
Let's see. Well, I don't know if this, I don't think he's a sleeper, but I think he's not getting nearly as much attention as a starting wide receiver as he should, but it's Michael Crabtree. We're seeing the 49ers move to the pass much more. We know how many points the Eagles put up, and I think Cap is going to have to air it out more and more, actually. I think that that's going to be the trend in San Francisco now, and I think Crabtree is going to be the beneficiary of that. Vernon Davis is supposed to play, so Stevie Johnson's production from last week should go back to normal. Now that Davis is back in the mix, I think Crabtree is going to have a huge game.
And who do you think has the potential? Oh, and my sleeper of the week was Golden Tate, because I think that wide receiver twos are going to put up real nice numbers against the Jets all year. But who do you think has the potential to be a dud for fantasy football as a wide receiver this week?
I'm worried about the Colts receivers, T.Y. Hilton. I know he is playing, correct? Last injury report.
I think the latest was that he was probable.
Yeah, I think he's likely to play, but I just don't think he's going to. He's so touchdown dependent, and Reggie Wayne seems to be the PPR play there. So I would sit T.Y. Hilton this week and Pep Hamilton. This seems to be a matchup, at least on paper, where Pep Hamilton's run first. Even though with Andrew Luck, why are you running all the time offense? It's totally irrational. But this seems to be a week where I think they are going to lean more on the backfield, and Ahmad Bradshaw is obviously looking so good that that'll happen. And I don't know if T.Y. Hilton, it's just so hard to predict him getting some huge, 50-yard bomb into the end zone and that being the thing. So I'm going to sit him.
My dud of the week was actually going to be Keenan Allen. I just think that there's something wrong. I don't know what it is. It could be that he's nursing some sort of injury. But even though it's a pretty good matchup against Jacksonville, I think that they are going to try and just run the ball. And I really like Donald Brown this week.
Do you think, though, that Donald Brown can handle that? Like, I understand that theory, and I'm not necessarily disagreeing, but if you already have Matthews and Woodhead out, right, they're pretty much done, and Donald Brown is your go-to guy, are you really going to risk running him into the ground, knowing his age and the potential? Like, then all you've got is all. Do you really think the coaches are going to be that? But that's my only, concern. With people saying, like, well, they're just going to run against Jacksonville, right? But what if Donald Brown goes down? They have to be kind of conservative with their run game at this point, because they're going to be picking up Willis McGahee in a couple of weeks if they're not.
I don't think that we see the 31 carries that he had last week. I think that was just an anomaly, and especially at a 2 yard per carry rate. But I'm expecting somewhere in the 18 to 22 carry range, where it's a little less taxing. And I do think that we do see Brandon Oliver in this game, and I can see him getting 10 or so touches.
I totally agree. I think Brandon Oliver is going to be the guy that come Tuesday, everyone's writing about, or Tuesday or Wednesday, is on all of the waiver wire lists, right? He's going to be the Isaiah Crowell of this week.
One guy that I want to get into with about is regarding that crowded backfield in Baltimore. How do you see, I guess, maybe not necessarily this week, but 2, 3, 4 weeks down the line, do you think Lorenzo Talaferro is the starting quarterback, starting running back the second half of the season for the Ravens this year?
You know, the answer to that, I wish I could give you a clear answer, but I don't know. I wrote an article for Scout this week of about 3 running backs to be patient with and just give them one more week, that this week is going to be crucial in discovering what was going to happen for the rest of the season. And I'm not ready to give up on Bernard Pierce. Now, it's totally infuriating to see how he hasn't taken the opportunity that he was given with Ray Rice's absence and forgive me for the pun, but run with it. you know, that benching during the first game, it was his first fumble of his career. So I think that the coaches were trying to set a tone and make an example out of him. Then he got banged up. Taliaferro did open the door a little bit, but he is a rookie, and they do have Pierce. So I feel like, again, philosophically, and this assumes rational coaching, which we've seen not necessarily be assumed as much as it should, you've got this vet, and he's not that old. You should use this guy and save Taliaferro for your future. Forsett's obviously going to remain the change of pace guy. He's the PPR guy. He's not big enough or built for carrying the whole load. So I think if Pierce stays healthy, he should continue to get the nod while Taliaferro develops behind him. But it's not totally – I think you got to watch this week. Like, if Bernard Pierce wins that job back, it's his. We live in a week-to-week league. It's really hard to project, you know, 6-10 weeks down the road because – everything, did anyone expect that Adrian Peterson wouldn't be playing this week, you know, or that
right.
Blake Bortles would be playing this week, or that we'd be talking about Allen Robinson as another potential sleeper, you know, like, so I think it's a week-to-week league, and that is a situation that I am definitely keeping an eye on this particular week. So I wish I could give you more clarity on that, but I think it's game-dependent.
Oh, hey, that's the answer that I'm sure a lot of people were looking for. And as the owner of Lorenzo Taliaferro in a 16-team league, keeper league, which I'm hoping that you're a little, I'm hoping you're a little wrong, because I'd love to see the emergence, especially with the fact that I did lose Noshon Moreno and Adrian Peterson in that league. So
cool.
Yeah, but luckily I was able to make a trade for Gio Bernard. So.
Oh, nice. Okay, you made up for it.
Yeah, so I was able to take advantage of someone who needed more for the buy this week, and I was able to snag Gio Bernard from him. But Liz, want to thank you for giving us a few minutes this morning. Everyone, make sure you follow Liz on Twitter at the FF Girl. Go to thefantasyfootballgirl.com and also go to scout.com and tell everyone about the podcast that you do.
Oh, sure. Well, Ryan, you'll have to come on it at some point. It's called the X's and Y's Podcast, a his and hers guide to fantasy football. We record every Wednesday. We've had some incredible guests on. We've had Chris Wesseling, Jamie Eisenberg, Evan Silva, Andy Behrens, Sigmund Bloom. It's a really, really fun time. We try to keep things casual. A lot of pop culture references because my podcasting partner, John Evans, is based in Los Angeles, as am I. So try to keep things light, but dish up the deep fantasy knowledge. And for instance, just a little extra, I have a huge crush on Scott Chandler. I call him my FF booty call. He is the guy that I just cannot quit. Not that I ever draft him, but, you know, tight end streaming this week, really, really ugly. So another sleeper for you and your listeners at the tight end position, Scott Chandler versus Houston. I know it's crazy, but I wrote an article for Scout. If you go on Scout, you can read it. It's actually not as crazy as you think it might be. So he is going to give you the cold shoulder in the morning. So just know he won't have brunch with you next Sunday.
All right, Liz. Definitely have to have you on sometime before the season ends. And again, at the FF Girl, thefantasyfootballgirl.com, scout.com, X's and Y's podcast. We'll talk to you soon, Liz. Thanks again for a couple minutes this morning.
Thanks so much, Ryan. Have a great day. Hope you win big.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Boy, that was fun. That was fun to get a different sort of view, because we fantasy football tends to be a very male-dominated activity, sport, whatever you want to call it. And just to hear some have a different point of view, a different angle from all these different, I guess, paths is really cool. And everyone, she's a great follow on Twitter. Her podcast is great, the X's and Y's podcast. If you listen to SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, she's always on, especially with the Roto Experts in the morning. She comes on a lot. Definitely make sure that you check Liz Loza out every possible way possible. With that, it's going to bring our show to a close. Again, make sure you follow me on Twitter at rstern33bsp. Follow the show on Twitter at Beyond the Bench. Go to facebook.com/beyondthebenchbsp. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. I hope everyone wins big in their fantasy leagues this week. May your NFL team, as long as they're playing today, get a win. And until next week, I want you to have a nice day.